Agricultural programming is made possible by Risk Management Commodities, with offices in Chalmers and Lafayette, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities provides commodities analysis and recommendations for business and agriculture throughout East Central Illinois and Western Indiana. 866-837-9027.
It's 69 degrees on Friends Plaza in Urbana at 850, and it's time now for a first look at the commodity markets. And with our pre-opening report this morning, Jay Pierce sitting in for Dave Dickey. Hi, Jay.
Well, good morning, Dan. Thank you very much. And the USDA released its June planting estimates quarterly stocks report on schedule this morning. Of course, all of the information is on our website, willag.org. The highlights: corn planting estimates, 87.3 million acres. That's 1.3 million higher than the March estimate, 6.3 million acres less than last year. Soybean planting estimated at 74.5 million. And that's close to the 74.8 March number, about 11 million acres more than last year. Wheat plantings estimated at 63.4 million. That's a little less than the March estimate. Corn stocks, 4 billion bushels. It's above the estimates for 3.9 billion. Soy stocks, 676 million. And that's above the estimate for 663 million. Again, if you go to Will Pledge, you can go to willpledge.org and make a contribution to support this service. But if you want to see these numbers, you can go to willag.org. Midwest Daily Direct hog markets are called flat to mostly a dollar lower on light demand for the Independence Day holiday shortened week and bearish supply data for the balance of this year and Friday's quarterly hogs and pigs report. You can see that on the website, too, by the way. Terminal markets called steady to weak with top prices seen in a range of 47 to 51 on a live basis. Peoria steady at 47. Eastern Corn Belt Daily Direct Hog Report for Friday. Negotiated purchase is 12,232. And for the base market hog on a 185-pound carcass basis, the base price range was 66 to 76, weighted average 71.91, a loss of 159 from Thursday. Live basis, barrels and gilts sold from 46.80 to 61.33, the weighted average 57.49. Western Daily Direct Hog Report negotiated swine purchases, 13,587, base price range 65.25 to 74.32, weighted average 72.55. That was a loss of 53 cents from Thursday. On a live basis, barrels and gilts sold from 48.69 to 59.08, and the weighted average was 55.36. Take a look at the overnight trade and talk things over with Brian Maple from F.C. Stone & Company in Indianapolis. Just a couple of minutes, but first, agricultural weather. And here's meteorologist Scott Olthoff. Morning, Scott.
Good morning, Jay. Thank you very much. Well, in the U.S. Midwest, rain fell through the eastern Corn Belt. In on 95% of the western Corn Belt over the weekend, rainfall amounts of 1 to 2 inches occurred in central Minnesota, or anywhere from 6 tenths to 1 1/3 inches fell from eastern and southern Indiana into central Kentucky. Highest temperatures Friday through Sunday were in the 70s and 80s in the north, and the 80s and a few lower 90s in eastern Missouri, southern Illinois, and western Kentucky. Today's forecast a little drier than that of late last week. Tuesday evening through Friday will be the wettest period with widespread rain expected from Kansas through the eastern Corn Belt. The remainder of the two-week outlook includes frequent but light shower activity. Some net drying is anticipated, but there may be some pockets of strong thunderstorms as well. Crop development potential will be very good, except in those areas that continue to deal with standing or running water from the flooding. Flooding will slowly recede during the forecast period, but areas still underwater today are not likely to see much of any production for the remainder of the year. In the U.S. Delta Southeast, showers and thunderstorms brought rain to 90% of the Delta and southeastern states over the weekend. Rainfall is greatest in central Georgia and portions of northern North Carolina into eastern Virginia. Anywhere from 7/10 to 2.5 inches were reported. Rainfall amounts elsewhere anywhere from 1/10 to 3/4 inch, with local amounts over 1 inch. Dryness in the topsoil was not significantly eased for the northern Delta or Tennessee River Basin during the weekend. The region will be free of significant rain through Wednesday, allowing additional net drying to take place. Rain that develops Thursday and Friday will temporarily raise topsoil moisture, but net drying will be back again later in the weekend and next week. The region is not too dry, but does need to be closely monitored until significant rain falls. Conditions for crop development in the Delta and Southeast states will remain favorable during the next 2 weeks. Widespread rain is expected late this week and into the weekend, with the southeastern states favored for the greatest rain. A tropical storm may move into lower Delta or southeastern states late this week and could bring heavier than advertised rain to much of this region. However, confidence is low. Now, if the tropical disturbance does develop and bring significant rain to the Delta and southeastern states, soil moisture will still be favorable for crop development at the end of next week, but it'll be a steep. But it'll still be in steep decline. Increasing crop stress might also be occurring by that time. In Canada, rain will not be very abundant in the prairie over the next week to 10 days. Net drying is quite likely, and that will likely translate some potential increasing crop moisture stress. The prairie has not been getting along with timely precipitation thus far this growing season, and the tendency will continue with temperatures trending warmer in the west. Accelerated drying rates may occur between rain events, raising the potential for some eventual crop stress of greater significance. Frequent waves of rain and mild temperatures in the southeastern Ontario and Quebec, Canada will create an environment favorable for long-term crop development. However, warmer weather is needed to induce faster drying rates between the rain events and faster crop development. In the U.S. hard red wheat belt, rain fell as expected during the weekend, with nearly two-thirds of the hard red wheat country being impacted. Amounts range from a few hundredths of an inch to three-quarters inch, with the local amounts over 1 inch in southeastern Kansas and north-central Texas. Wednesday through Friday offers the most generalized rain to hard red wheat country. The precipitation will delay harvest progress, but it should not be heavy or persistent enough to raise concerns over unharvested grain quality. Rainfall, the remainder of the two-week forecast, is expected not to be heavy or widespread enough to create a serious issue over field work or crop conditions. The U.S. Northern Plains rain fell in the eastern half of the spring wheat country in Northern Plains Friday through Sunday. Rainfall varied from a few hundredths of an inch to three-tenths of an inch, with coverage close to 50%. Waves of rain move across the Northern Plains in the next couple of weeks. No excessive rain will fall, but rain totals will be great enough to maintain moisture abundance across portions of the region. Tuesday and Wednesday, and again to the July 5th to the 7th time frame, will be the wetter of the two periods. That's your growing area's weather. I'm meteorologist Scott Olthoff.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Overnight in Kansas City, July wheat opened at 9:24 and a quarter, down 3/4 on the open, up 2 3/4 on the last trade. September at 9:40 and a half, down 4 1/2 on the open, up 4 on the last trade. The spring wheat for July opened at 11:90, down 22 on the last trade as well. September at 10:03, down 3/4 on the open, up 7 3/4 on the last trade. July wheat in Chicago at 8:86 and a half, down 9 and up 3. September at 9:11, down 1 and up 4 1/4. December 9:30 and a quarter, down 5 1/4 and up 2 3/4. March at 9:59 on the open was up 4 1/4, up 3 1/4 on the last trade. July 09 unchanged at 9:69 and 3/4 on the open, up 3/4 on the last trade. July corn 7:53 and 3/4, down 1 and up 2 1/2. September at 7:66 and a half, down 1 1/4, up 3 1/4. December at 7:85 and 3/4, down 1 1/4, up 3 1/4. And March 09 at 8:01 and a half, down 2 1/4 on the open, last traded up 2 1/4. May at 8:09 and 3/4, down 1 1/4, up 3. And December 09 at 6:74 and a half on the open, down 2 1/2 and down 1/4 on the last trade. Soybeans for July 15:81 and 3/4, up 1/4 and up 15 1/2 on the last trade. August at 15:79 unchanged on the open, up 11 on the last trade. September at 15:70, up 3 1/2 and up 8 1/2. November 15:65 and 3/4, up 6 1/4 and up 9. The January 09 at 15:73, down 1 1/2 on the open, up 5 3/4 on the last trade. Soybean meal for July, 427.90, unchanged and up 5, up 50, that is. And August at 424.70, 424.20 was the opening price, I should say, and that was down 5 on the open and down 20 on the last trade. The July soybean oil at 65.07, down 50 and up 34, and August at 65.85. Was down 5 on the open and up 48 on the last trade. And joining us now from F.C. Stone & Company in Indianapolis is Brian Maple. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning. How are you doing, Jay?
Oh, not too bad. What do you see in those numbers? What about those planting estimates?
Well, certainly a bit of a surprise, I think, to most of the trade. You end up with plantings coming in at 87.3 million acres. That's versus March intentions of 86. They went out and increased Iowa by 500,000, Minnesota by 200,000, Wisconsin 150,000 acres, while declining Illinois by 300,000 and Missouri by 200,000. I think the question in my mind, I guess, is were intentions way off? So were we actually, we were down on intentions 1 million acres in Iowa, for instance, so we gained half of that back. Were intentions actually off by 1 million acres, so they're still taking 500 away. Supposedly, the USDA went out and surveyed 1,200 farmers late June to try and get a better handle on how the cool, wet spring affected the acres. So they're in line with what the Informa numbers were a week and a half ago. I guess I think at this point you got to think this report is a little bit bearish out here based on those numbers that they're giving us. Now, they are going to resurvey everything prior to the August S&D report. So I got to go with a hard lower start to the corn market. I think you're 10 lower off the get-go. The question is, are there people out there that are just waiting to step in and buy corn on the lower numbers? As we turn our attention to the beans, you've got a bean report that's really just kind of mixed out here. I don't know that it's terribly bearish, but can the bean market hang on if we see a tremendous amount of selling coming into the corn pit? I question whether it can. I'm going to go with a 10 lower bean market to get started. I do think that the Julys are going to hold up well against the back months. The new crop is where the selling will actually take place. And wheat's going to be in sympathy with what's going on in corn. The wheat numbers are nothing that terribly friendly. You had a mild reversal on Friday in the trade, so I look for wheat to be down, oh, I'm going to say 5 to 10 cents as we get started. And good golly, wheat could go anywhere here on the day, Jay.
All right, Brian, thank you very much.
Thanks.
Have a good day. That's Brian Maple of S.C. Stone & Company in Indianapolis, Indiana. This is WILL Urbana, the broadcasting service of the College of Media at Illinois. We'll join the BBC News now.